You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, November 30th. It's the final day of November here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman. We are joined, as always, by the King, Scott Engel, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Cincata as well. Final day of November, Scotty. What's going on?
Yes, here we are. It's week 13. In a lot of cases, the old cliche applies, do or die. I'm in seven leagues, and in four of them, I'm facing do or die situations this week. So I'm right there with our listeners.
Tony, how are you feeling here?
I'm in the situation where I have one wrapped up. I only played four season-long leagues, and three of them I'm in do-or-die situations.
All righty. So, I'm in my three leagues. One doesn't seem to be going very well. One I'm locked in. The other one is do-or-die this Sunday. We're all feeling the pressure. We are all getting close to that finish line, and we're all going to make our push here to get into the playoffs and help you get into the playoffs as well. But naturally, I need to start off with a bit of an anecdote here this morning. Now, Tony, you know, you get up very, very early. Now, do you have like a routine? Like, I'm assuming no one in your house is awake, right? You kind of do your thing, right?
Well, when I first get up, no one's awake, but I have three kids, and they go to school, and my daughter's school's downtown, and she takes two different buses to get there. So she's up next about 30 minutes after I start, and then the boys get up after that. So they get up a little early, but I start out at 4:45 each and every morning.
Right, so you got, but that's your
up at that time.
Tony, that's your routine, right? You have your routine,
yeah.
And it is what it is here. Scotty, I know you have your routine sometimes, you know, on a waiver wire Wednesday morning, maybe 40 minutes earlier, you've said that's your routine, right? You got it?
Yeah, like usually I'm up at 4 every morning, but if it's a waiver wire day, I could be up before 4, so yeah, that's pretty much the routine.
All right, so I know, yeah. I have my routine as well. I wake up, and I have a roommate, and I, you know, he gets up much later than I do. So I shower, you know, I turn certain lights on at certain time, and I have, you know, my half hour that is just me. You shower, you get dressed, you go, right? You don't talk to anybody. You're in your own head thinking of what you're doing today, thinking of the plan, you know, thinking of stuff for the show, you know, that kind of thing, right? And that's the plan.
I get my best ideas in the morning.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure when you're on the subway or you're walking to the bus or whatnot, like, you're in your own head. You're doing your thing. You are totally insulated, right? You're doing your own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am the same way entirely. But this morning, my roommate needs to get up a little earlier. So, all right, whatever. But I'm in the shower first, right? I'm still on time doing my thing. But I walk out of the bathroom this morning. Every light in the apartment is on. I'm like, what the hell is going on here, right? And it's just like, it takes me out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I get in my room. Hello! Good morning! How are you? I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, this is what's going on this morning? This can't happen.
You're taking me out of my routine, yeah.
Right. And not that I'm not a morning person. Obviously, when you're doing morning radio, you got to be a morning person.
Yeah.
So
you're cheery anytime.
Right. So I'm fine. But I'm getting dressed. I'm just out of my zone here, right? Oh, well, I'm fine. He's like, did you know it's still dark out right now? I go, yes, I know it's still dark out right now. I wake up at this time every morning.
Yes.
Huh, this is crazy. People shouldn't be up this early. I go, thanks. Thanks so much. And then I'm just like putting on, like, I put my shirt on, I put like a sweater over it. You know, I'm literally about to walk out the door. I'm taking some medicine, and he goes, go out and go kill another day. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Like, just, he's sitting there making his eggs. It's 6:20 in the morning. Like, stop. Just leave me be. Wait an extra 20 minutes and I'm gone, and you can turn every light on in the entire apartment building. But I just needed this half hour to myself to walk out in my own comfort zone. Am I crazy?
No, I think, like you say, you get used to routine in the morning, and like, unless it's a female roommate, you really don't want that happening.
But even still, like, if I lived with a female roommate, like, I think she would be used to my schedule. I'd be used to her schedule, and it's fine.
Yeah, but if she's attractive and she's getting up at 6 in the morning, you know, and like,
no,
like early in the morning, and you know, she's got all the lights on.
Oh, it sounds awful.
It's like, yeah, I expect a phone call from, you know, Sussman's out today.
I don't think so. So I have a girlfriend. I sleep over her apartment pretty regularly. But she's sleeping, right? Like, she is completely out. I don't turn the lights on when she's sleeping. I get dry. I have my routine when I'm there. Tony, am I crazy that I didn't want to deal with this person this morning?
No, I totally get it. But anything, you're right. You do the same thing each and every day. Like, when I was in New York, 3:30, right?
Yeah.
I get up. I have to leave the house by 4.
Right.
I have a time to get a coffee before I get on the bus.
Right.
And everything went in play. As soon as one thing goes out of order, it feels like your whole day is screwed up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then throwing another human into the equation
right.
is crazy.
You know, to me, when I walk outside my apartment and I walk here to Rockin' Riley's, you see the same people every day. They're walking to work and you're walking to work. And you get the fresh air and you... And I told you, yes, on Monday, guys, when I was walking to work and I felt like, wow, I'm on cloud 9. My fantasy teams did well. I'm walking here. The walk feels like nothing today. And then today, I was out of sync. I was out of sync. All because he had every...
He threw you off.
He did. Every freaking light was on in my apartment and I could not understand why. And he has to make small talk with me at this
point.
Well,
maybe that's the beauty of fantasy sports too, because like, we're used to certain routines, like, you know, waiver wire, etc., you know, things like that. But nothing ever goes routine at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. You set your lineup, Tony, and I think that maybe that's why we like fantasy sports so much, because a lot of things don't go according to the routine.
Yeah, well, last night was a perfect example. I actually spent the first 15 minutes of the DFS today talking about if you put Andre Drummond in your DFS lineup last night, and he was ejected after 13 minutes. That wasn't something you anticipated by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, and we saw some career nights from some guys last night, Tony, including the Alphabet.
Well, the Alphabet can play. We had this discussion, and Greg, maybe you can. A lot of celebrities, like movie stars, change their name, right?
Sure.
Name.
Yeah, I heard you say this yesterday.
Do you think what Antetokounmpo's not at the level of like the LeBron Jameses, the Stephen Currys of the world?
Right.
Well, player wise, do you think it has to do with his name or the fact that he plays in Milwaukee, or what is it that doesn't make him the star like those players?
So I think it's both. I think you actually make really good points, right? Like if he was playing in New York, everybody in the world know who Giannis was, right? Like it would be one name. Everyone would just call him Giannis. Just like Kristaps Porzingis, everyone calls him KP, right? And he's Porzingon, and everybody knows him. And if you just swap those guys out, nobody would care about Porzingis, and Giannis Antetokounmpo would be a freaking legend already. Seriously. I completely agree with
he's
that.
He's a great player. And we were trying to figure, we did a whole thing yesterday on why people don't put this guy in that realm. Like,
right.
He's that good. I mean,
he is.
He's a 6'10 point guy that plays every position except center.
Yeah, 100%, and he can guard any position, including the center position. He is that good. He is that good. So normally, I was telling Mike Florio this before the show. So I told you, Tony, I got annoyed when FanDuel upped the $10 double ups by $1. Right? I told you I got annoyed by that. So I'm playing. So I'm playing the two $5 games. So I can still play that even $10. First time last night since doing that, I won one and lost one. The same lineup.
Really?
Yeah. But
I was actually telling people the last show, do you play in the multiple, like people could put multiple lineups in those 50-50s?
No, I play single entry.
All right, so basically, how many people are in there, 100?
In the $5 ones, there's 227 people in there, with the top 100 winning, because I do the multipliers.
Top 100 win.
Yeah, top 100 wins. So
20... I love the multipliers.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the deal, Tom.
I like that field better, and I tell people all the time, stay away from those 50-50s, that way you could have the multiple entries.
Agreed.
Because it's really distorted how things have worked, because you have guys with 150 teams with the same lineups in there, and I'd much rather put in this situation, to use Greg's thing, $10 head-to-heads before I get in and play in that type of environment.
Yeah, to me, it was very frustrating. Not that I had a good night, Tony, because I wound up cashing in one without Antetokounmpo and without Anthony Davis. So I was happy to just break even last night.
Yeah, Anthony Davis has just been. We were going over his plays this morning on DFS today. He is the guy. We all talk about Russell Westbrook and fine, Anthony Davis is the guy with the highest upside in the NBA. It's not every night, and when you talk about Westbrook, definitely far more consistent. But when you talk about 80-point games, 100-point games coming into play, it's Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it is.
And remember, you just mentioned the Alphabet had a career night. What about Sean Kilpatrick last night? 38 points, 14 rebounds.
Yeah, Sean Kilpatrick and the Nets upset the Los Angeles Clippers in double OT, which is why I cashed, because I had three Clippers in my lineup. I said, screw you, blowout effect.
Yeah, and how about DeAndre Jordan last night with that 21 points and 23 rebounds?
Yeah, so as soon as the news came out of Blake Griffin last night, I said he had to be 100% owner. If you guys will listen to the Lineup Luck Show, he just puts up monster numbers every time Griffin's out of the lineup. And I agree with you. I went with the Clippers last night. I had three Clippers in my lineup, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and I had Jamal Crawford. He has $3,700. He got 30 minutes of play, which I thought he would, but he didn't hit. He couldn't hit the barn last night in a game there. And he hurt me in that contest, not putting up big points there.
Yeah, I actually had three Clippers as well. I had Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and I went with J.J. Redick as my third.
Nice play, yeah.
Redick did. I ran a Clipper stack, and it was fine. I mean, those guys did well. Frankie Kaminsky killed me last night. And Matthew Dellavedova, I mean, he did fine.
You've been using Kaminsky a lot lately,
game.
Right?
I used so I thought, Tony, I went with the hashtag revenge game last night. You know what killed me? You know what was the reason I didn't crush it last night, though? LeBron James. I mean, that was it. I thought LeBron James had a great game. It was awful.
I thought he was the number one player going into last night's game based on the matchup.
Yep.
And he was pitiful. Kyrie Irving was pitiful. Kevin Love had a decent game there. There were a lot of upsets last night. I mean, Orlando goes into San Antonio and beats them on their home court.
Crazy. They didn't lose. They only lost the Warriors last year on their home court. Brooklyn beats the Clippers at home. New Orleans destroys L.A. here, even with Julius Randle's return. So a lot of big upsets last night around the NBA. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah.
Are you familiar with the ESPN streak for the cash?
I am, sure.
Yes. In fact, a former Roto expert won that one year, actually. Adam Zadroy.
Really?
Yeah.
Last night, what did he win?
I don't remember the amount of cash, but he actually went on to work for ESPN Stats and Information.
Oh, that's pretty impressive, because I won like five in a row, and I got a T-shirt once. So that's about it.
Oh, really?
He won a good amount of cash.
I haven't won anything.
I guess
but the Lakers were 92% picked in that game last night.
Mm. Unbelievable.
On the streak for the cash. Yeah, 92% of the people had the Lakers last night. And I was like, man, I had the Pelicans. And I was like, damn, people like the Lakers, are they treating them like James Worthy and Magic Johnson?
Right.
Like, anytime they're on the road, how could he go and predict that they would beat anyone? But people falling in love with the Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the problem with the Lakers. People are excited about them. People are all up about the new Lakers, and they're definitely improving, but they're not there yet, and I think that's what people have to be ready for.
Yeah, it's a new era there.
It is, which is good. Yeah. It's a good thing. All right, let's take a break here. We come back. Let's take a look at who we got on the waiver wire. I'll tell Corey the defense that I wound up picking up, and we'll go over some prices to try to help you do perhaps your final waiver wire of the year. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman with you. Just watched Doc Rivers go crazy, Corey.
That was wild. Doc Rivers was really upset last night.
Yeah,
upset. You know what? These officials, these referees, whatever, they try to make themselves so much a part of the show and the game and the action. We should know they're not even there. You know what I'm saying? It should be like, oh, the game was a good game, came down to the wire, overtime. Classic, whatever the case may be. But you always, every time you turn around, these officials trying to make a name for themselves. They want their name to be on SportsCenter.
Da-da-da.
I don't blame Doc Rivers for going crazy on him. Doc was mad last night.
Doc was angry.
Yeah.
Doc was pretty angry last night.
What's the deal?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm trying to make...
Floor. Are you okay, man? You fell there. You right?
Oh, he didn't fall, did he?
Yeah, I think you might have broke my backpack. That's possible.
I hope your computer wasn't in there.
No, my computer's right in front. It's not even my backpack. I don't know what that is. It's his backpack, I think. Oh, you broke your own backpack. All right, that's fine. How you doing, bud?
I'm chilling, Greg. I got Romo right here next to me. That's going to be in protection. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
you're not going to take that home, that Romo fathead?
I'm
going to
leave it in the studio for protection.
Protection from what?
From anything that tried to come in here and get me.
Okay. Dude, I don't think anybody's out to get you.
You're kind of a weird dude.
Yeah. Just discovering this.
I'm eccentric.
Yeah.
That's fair to say.
Thank you, Greg.
Now, have you decided?
So you guys had some leagues that ran waivers. Like, you know, I'm a Wednesday night waiver guy. So how are we looking?
I got two that ran last night, and like three will run tonight.
I got a big two that ran last night.
Yeah.
And now these numbers, you know, are going to be inflated because you're trying to go after a team. So last night, in a league where I am fighting for my life here, and I play a team that's fighting for his life.
All right.
He had, going into last night, he had 17 waiver dollars left. Okay? So I decided, and he has someone, he has Jeremy Maclin, he's got some other injuries going on. He had $17 left, so I spent $18 on Marquise Wilson last night.
Nice.
Because I thought that was the move. Mm-hmm. We talked about him. He was one of the top guys. Three of you guys said last night would be out there. I should go bid. He did not bid on him.
He didn't?
No.
So you just shot it for no reason?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that gives you the comfort of knowing that you have the player. You can't do nothing with the Fab at this time, so
you can't predict what the other teams are going to do.
I know.
So you got to be safe.
I took a shot.
You know, in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, I spent almost my entire remaining budget on Marcus Wilson, and the other teams bid on him. I had 25 left. I spent 23.
Did you get him?
I got him.
All right, so there you go, right there.
Yeah, Tony, I was actually the next highest bid at 16.
Mm. Tony, why did you empty two, Tony? I hate to say that. You
know? No, I didn't empty it because I expect to play next week, so I left a couple dollars on the table.
Okay,
I could have outbid him.
Okay,
I looked at your roster, and it looks like you didn't need him as much as I do either.
Well, here's the problem. It's the craziest thing. If I got Marquise, I was sort of hoping I didn't get him. Because that next week, DeSean Jackson's got a tough matchup. He's probably going to get Patrick Peterson in that matchup there, and he's got a banged-up knee. T.Y. Hilton's got a banged-up back. And then I would have had a healthy Marquise Wilson, and I would have been thinking about, do I play him over one of these two guys? So I was kind of hoping in my mind that I wouldn't have to make that decision.
I feel you.
I was just like surprised that you didn't go a little higher, you know, looking at the standings and so many teams are in this league is like full of parity right now. You got in one division, I'm leading at 7-5, and you got the next four teams at 6-6, and then the other division, it's 8-4, and then you know, the next four teams are either 7-4-1 or 7-5. So I don't know if anybody knows this for sure. They're playing next week.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, you got to have confidence in whatever you do in life and think that you'll be playing next week.
Look, this,
Scott, you have the easiest. All you have to do is win. But if you lose, you're out.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a one-week game, though, like Corey says, though. So I'm focused on this week. And like you say, you can't take the money with you, so.
Can't take the money
with you. For a kicker.
Can't take the money with you, for sure. But I look at, you know, I look at my teams, and if I'm going to the playoffs, I do want a couple dollars left. So, but I also need to win this week here.
I'm kind of like, for what if you're going to the playoffs?
I don't know. You never know what's going to happen.
Emergency, like what? Like.
Let's take for instance. Let's say that Frank Gore was injured, right?
Yeah.
And you're in a situation you need a running back. Robert Turbin's there. Now, you only have four or six teams in the playoffs, but it's still four or six teams, so you want to have the ability to get that running back in that type of situation. It's a hypothetical, but it does happen.
I left $2 on the table.
See, I kind of feel as if, I don't know, I'm indifferent. I kind of think that sometimes, once you get to week 14, shut it off, period.
I know you said that.
What you got is what you got. You feel what I mean?
I agree. Uh-huh. I agree. But when leagues don't do that,
you have to take advantage of it.
We also had a complaint in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
Like
who was
Bob
complaining?
Bob from Long Island says on the bulletin board, how come the only team not to play Corey on the schedule? It would be an equal schedule with 13 teams.
I just answered that.
The best scoring team twice.
Thanks for
the
listening,
worst
Bob.
Zero times. I don't get it. What was your answer to him?
My ESPN put the schedule together 3 months ago. Don't be the guy complaining when the schedule has been published for 3 months on the final week. Yeah.
So,
and I wouldn't beat you, Bob.
So going back here, though. So I told you I had like $26 left, $25 left.
That's a good.
So I had Marquise Wilson. I spent 18 on him, like I said. So the other guy I thought he can grab was my guy, Dorial Green Beckham.
Oh, your boy.
So I spent $5 on DGB.
Okay.
Yes.
This is not the team where you hadn't played DGB.
Obviously.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Spent $5 on DGB.
Okay.
He didn't bid on him either.
So you just...
Yeah, spent $23 for no reason.
For no reason. But that, but you got the players. You have the comfort of knowing that you have the players. So,
so the
you
question
go.
That I'm waiting for you to ask is who did he go get? Like, who was
it? It sounds like he didn't get nobody.
He did.
Who did he pick up?
He spent $10 on Jerick McKinnon.
Why would you even start Jerick McKinnon?
That seems like an amateur.
I actually
rather start Kenneth Dixon.
You know, we're talking Kenneth Dixon's owned. I'm just saying,
you know, as an example.
So we're talking about my whole Monday night thing, right? He's going to make up a decision with Jerick McKinnon tomorrow.
They're about to say McKinnon plays tomorrow.
I like that he has to make that decision now, because I mean that could mean benching Jerry Macklin even if he might play. Like, that's a pretty good thing for me.
My decision on McKinnon any day of the week would be bench him.
He had a fine week last week. We're talking about him. He's coming up later in the show. He was okay last week, Jerick McKinnon.
How many points did he have last
over 10
week?
In the PPR.
That's, what is that, season high?
I don't know.
He's had a pretty
mediocre year.
Yeah, he did look. That was actually a game where he actually did look good, and they got him involved in that offense.
100%.
The other reason I couldn't go all in on. I had to get a tight end because of this Jordan Reed situation. I had to get a backup tight end as well.
Yeah.
That's the one that's going to go right to the game time, so you have to be ready for that. And I do have Tyreek Hill on my bench, and they're playing the Atlanta Falcons this week. So I wasn't crazy. Like, if I had to make a move on DeSean Jackson or T.Y. Hilton, Tyreek Hill's got a good matchup.
Yeah, so you picked up Lance Kendricks for $3 in our league.
I'll be honest with you. I had no interest whatsoever. People were like, Tyreek Hill, and I'm like, why? Why the hell am I picking up Tyreek Hill?
You've been saying that for weeks.
And he played with Alex Smith, you know what I'm saying?
You've been saying that for weeks.
I'll be honest with you, the Tyreek Hill guy's got a nice piece as long as Macklin's not in it. I wish he couldn't probably.
From a scouting perspective, you talk about Alex Smith, but Alex Smith can throw it to him for 3 yards, and then
he goes nuts.
He'll treat it like a kick return, and then you just pick it apart.
I'm looking at my. See, well, I got Dontrell Lemon in my lineup this week, so
hey,
I
nothing
guess.
Wrong with Dontrell Lemon. We'll talk about him later on. Tyrell Williams, his shoulder injury may be more serious than we believed.
Yeah, we'll have Dr. A on this morning.
Dr. A coming up a little bit later on.
Okay,
that'd
be
that.
Good. Absolutely. I mean, I didn't mean to say that'd be good.
We could talk to Dr. A.
For us to get insight.
No, I was talking about Williams' shoulder. Not saying that would be good. I don't want nobody to think that I was rooting for an injury.
You were.
To make Dontrell Inman more fantasy relevant in a good matchup versus the Buccaneers.
You've done that.
So, you know, the other guy he spent some money on this week, which I could not be happier about, $6.
Well, who?
T'Von Austin.
Oh, boy.
I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, I would be worried about that, though.
Really?
It could be like just your luck that T'Von Austin goes off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Patriots?
I can't see it happening this week. It's like
somebody's going to get garbage time points, though, in that game, right? Yep. If New England is able to put up some points there, and we've seen it time and time again, you can get some fantasy points against that New England defense.
You can. You certainly can. I'm hoping it goes in the direction of Kenny Britt. Or Lance
but
Kendricks,
in order,
not T'Von Austin.
But T'Von Austin isn't your standard type player. When they're playing catch-up, they'll throw to, like, Britt and Quick. It's,
right.
You know, what are you going to do? You're playing from, 20 points behind. You're going to give it to a reverse to T'Von Austin?
I'm with you.
Well, he did catch a touchdown pass, Scott. Don't be a hater, man.
the guy's very mediocre.
I think that's an understatement, personally. Yeah. So, yeah, those are my waiver wire bids. I know, Tony, Scotty, you've given a couple out either as well. Anything else kind of come to mind here?
Interesting about in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, somebody spent $18 on the Packers defense because they're playing Houston this week.
Right.
But sometimes I look at this kind of thing and I'm like, yeah, Houston will turn the ball over, et cetera. The Packers look better last week, but I just feel like I can't use Green Bay's defense against anybody.
You know, it's interesting because that was one we talked about yesterday as one you can consider. You're playing Brock Osweiler and Houston. Maybe you should be considering them because of the turnovers of Osweiler. But I agree. Green Bay stinks.
I agree. No, I agree. You could use them in this game. Like, we talk about it all the time, right?
Yep.
Interceptions, sacks, things like that. I actually used Green Bay in half my lineups on the Monday, Thursday when Dallas was the obvious choice against the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday. Just because I thought it would be a game with a higher total than it actually ended up being, and Carson Wentz would throw some up there. And they put up, I think, 7 fantasy points. So I think there's another good matchup, even though it's a poor defense.
Yeah,
I give the team
before
credit.
Last week they scored 13, but like before that, it's like they hadn't scored, you know, more than 8 since week 6.
I don't really care about anything except week 13, right, Scott? You led me to believe that.
That's true, but I gotta, you know, I can't paint anything with a broad brush. It's just like this defense is so bad. I worry that they can give up 30 or 40 points to anybody.
They could.
Yeah, they could.
You know, and then if you got to know your scoring system, you could be looking at negative points if you get above 30.
Yeah, I don't like those kind of leagues.
Why not?
Because I don't like negative points. It's enough trying to get positive numbers. You know, you get negatives for fumbles and interceptions and stuff like that. It's like, geez, we going backwards now?
I want to report that Scott Angle dropped A.J. Derby after
one. Wow, ring that bell. You dropped A.J. Derby?
I had to.
Why? Who'd you pick up?
I need some receiver help. I picked up Kenny Stills.
He's really boom or bust.
But this is a very, very deep league.
It's always the responsibility.
And the Ravens give up some big plays.
That's true, they do.
Yeah.
That's a good
thing. Somebody I'm like considering that. Using. I held on to Derby in my other league.
So, for the record, I think Kenny Stills is a much better picker than A.J. Derby because I think Kenny Stills has potential to have a big touchdown.
Yeah. Right now, I have Vance McDonald, so I don't need Derby. It's not like I've taken my eye off of him. I still have him in my other league. But
for now.
I had a need, and, you know, that was the guy that had to go, unfortunately.
Now, you mentioned Scott.
You know, we still have him on speed dial. You know, we're in touch.
Scott, you still have him on your other league. Is that because that league doesn't have waivers until tonight?
What's that?
The other league with AJ Derby?
No, it's the Scott Fishbowl, and it's pretty deep. So there's nobody out there on waivers, you know, who like catches my eye to the point where I'm cutting Derby, especially when you get an extra half point for a tight end.
Okay, I was just wondering there.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Corey?
Is CJ Pro's cuttable?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be back during the fantasy regular season.
Yeah, I don't see
the fantasy season.
All right, cool. Just wanted to make sure.
I think he asked it yesterday, too.
Did I?
Yeah, people are still asking, is AJ Green
cuttable?
This is
week 13, Greg. If I ask the same question twice, it's because I'm nervous.
I understand. Yeah. I get all
people asking, is AJ Green cuttable?
You are, too?
Yeah, I'm petrified. Because not only is AJ Green...
That's a good question. I guess we'll find it from Dr. A today.
That's a great question. Yeah. Is AJ Green cuttable? My initial
reaction is yes. You know, because you know every move is important this time of year.
You don't want to be like me and have to face the possibility of having to go against Sammy Watkins, who I drafted down the stretch.
I don't think we have
anything positive reporting that they're going to see AJ Green again this year. To me, Green, the reports I've seen, out indefinitely. There's no return date like Adrian Peterson.
I don't think AJ Green's cuttable.
I'd be scared to cut AJ Green.
Tony?
I'm okay with it.
I would cut him. I would cut him. If I had a guy, this is the thing. It's going to be a guy that's going to play in my lineup this week or you know, whatever week that you go and cut him. And I think that when you're in the playoffs, you can cut these guys because you've got the limited amount of teams. Everybody's had a successful roster, and you're not going to get stuck in that type of situation where someone's going to pick them up.
You know, if I have Melvin Gordon and I want to handcuff Kenneth Farrow to be safe,
right.
I'm cutting AJ Green.
I don't know. I don't feel good about that.
Just in case.
There's nobody else you can cut for Kenneth Farrow. Nobody else on your bench.
You'd be like the last guy on my bench. Yeah.
I'd rather just hold on to AJ Green.
You know, I want to have a situation where like Melvin Gordon gets hurt. I want to have that next guy up.
No, I get it. I get owning Kenneth Farrow. I'm not disagreeing there. But there has to be someone else on your bench you can cut.
There might not be.
I'd much rather cut Kenny Stills for Kenneth Farrow.
I don't know if I would do that.
I might have to use Stills this week.
You got to use him.
But maybe you don't have to use him. I'm just saying, Scott is the example.
I got a situation where I know I'm playing Jameson Crowder.
Right. Well, Jameson Crowder's great.
Yeah, I know I just picked up Marcus Wilson.
You know Jameson Crowder's my guy, right?
Yeah.
Like I was the first person talking about him.
I've said that already. Oh, you don't need to do that. At Jameson Crowder, I just picked up Marcus Wilson. I can start two of them. Then my third receiver is either Eli Rogers, Travis Benjamin, or Kenny Stills, and I'll sit on that decision.
Ooh, yeah. I feel you on that one, Scotty. But at least you got options, though.
I got some options, too.
I got to ask Dr. Ray about Benjamin today, though, because with Tyreek Hill, you know, playing with the labrum injury, you know, they might need Benjamin to get more involved.
I got some options too. I'm gonna have to ask you guys throughout the week because I don't know. I have all these guys. Like, I kind of want to bench Randall.
That's what we're here for.
I want to bench Randall Cobb. I think he stinks. I'm not going to because I don't have the cojones to. But like, I'd like to bench him. You know, yeah. Kenny Britt. I don't love this week. And then I have Quincy Enunwa. I have Dontrell Inman.
Kenny Britt can get some numbers in catch up time.
Yeah.
If anybody on that.
And then
my
decision all week is gonna be Jackie Doyle or Lance Kendricks.
Oh boy.
I know. Or Vance McDonald. God, or Vance
Doyle.
McDonald.
I love Jack Doyle.
What do you think about that, Tony? Jack Doyle, Lance Kendricks, or Vance McDonald?
I just Jack cut Doyle from McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jack Doyle is a guy that I'm interested, but I got to wait till game time.
Like, well, that's Monday Hilton's night at 8:30.
I know. That's a problem. If Hilton's out of that game, like I have that team that I picked Lance Kendricks up, I have Jack Doyle on the roster.
Yeah.
If Hilton was out of that game, I would go with Jack Doyle, and he'd be a receiving option there. Vance McDonald, man, he gets 4 or 5 catches every game.
Yeah.
It's late in the game when the game's over. It's the craziest thing each and every week. I even played him in Daily Fantasy last week. So I think the safest play out of that is Vance McDonald, but I'd say I'm leaning to Jack Doyle right now.
Yeah, and the Niners have a winnable game at home this week,
too. They do. Oh, man.
You guys think Robert Woods is cuttable?
Yeah, I think Robert Woods is cuttable.
Yeah. I don't know about that. When's he coming back, though?
When's AJ Green? Yeah, he's probably not the same time.
Yeah, but we haven't heard that Woods is like not going to return.
I mean, if Watkins is there, really Woods is irrelevant. You feel
correct.
What I'm saying?
Well, here's the question correct. I enter correct. Into, though. It's always, and Greg kind of alluded to this before, who are you cutting him for? I would
I'm
to get rid of him.
I'm going to pick up Dwayne Allen to cover my ass on T.Y. Hilton on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it was somebody else out there.
I don't know how much Dwayne Allen's going to get involved.
What? If T.Y. Hilton don't play, he's going to be more involved than T.Y. Hilton.
You never know with Dwayne Allen. What about Lance Kendricks if he's out there?
But Lance Kendricks doesn't play on Monday night.
Lance Kendricks don't play on Monday night. T.Y. Hilton played the last game of the week.
Yeah.
So it's like him or like Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. Or Philip Dorsett.
Huh?
Philip Dorsett.
I don't think Philip Dorsett is yeah, probably on the way.
I went
probably
and looked
on.
For him.
He started to play better recently.
He wasn't on any of my waiver wires. I went and looked for him, actually.
Yeah, so there you go.
Chester Rogers?
I do want to clarify.
Let's not get crazy.
Do you want to clarify? Vance McDonald, the Niners do not play at home. They play in Chicago in a winnable game.
They can still win that.
They definitely still can.
I don't think it matters where it is.
I agree. So that's going to be something I'm going to worry about all weekend. Vance McDonald or Lance.
I actually think San Francisco is playing better than Chicago right now.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Although, Chicago should have won last week against a good Titans team, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
San Francisco almost beat Miami in Miami.
That's true. Both these teams had opportunities to win last week.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here. We'll talk about some more headlines. We'll go over our teams more. We're rolling all morning long here in the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Corey Parsons, Tony Zincana, and Scott Angle.
Yep.
Trying to get our lineups together, man. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Trying to get those playoff rosters together. Yeah, and don't forget to check out my advanced scout on rotoexperts.com, part of your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package, the playoff push. I rank handcuffs for the playoffs.
I like that. I heard that
yesterday. Free radio checkout for a special discount.
Yeah, Corey just alerted me to something. So you guys, if you have T.Y. Hilton, here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Take him out of your wide receiver spot. Put him in your flex spot.
Yeah. Certainly.
And that way you have Jack Doyle that you could get off your waiver wire or off the bench and use him on Monday night as a backup. I also went and picked up Jalen Marshall from the Jets just in case you have to throw someone in. So I have two chances there. I'd have backed it up. But if you put him in the flex, you could also get Robert Turbin in that game to use if Hilton all of a sudden couldn't go. If you're in a league that Moncrief is there, of course, he's a natural fit. So take Hilton out of your wide receiver spot and put him in your flex.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. No question
hey,
about
that's
that.
That actually is not a bad idea. I didn't think about that Turbin right there. Because if I get... Oh, God, of course he's not owned in my league. What is going on?
What do you mean?
Robert Turbin is owned in my league.
Yeah, because somebody probably has Gore and they got him as the handcuff.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So now I got to pick up Josh Ferguson. And Josh Ferguson? That's going to be a zero.
Why
oh,
are you thinking
God.
Of Josh Ferguson?
Josh Ferguson's not going to get any runs.
Yeah, he's not going to play in the game. I might as well play T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
C.J. Spiller? When did Spiller sign with the Jets?
Didn't they get rid of him?
I don't think so. I think he's still on that team. The Seahawks got rid of him. That's your team.
No, I'm saying didn't the Jets? Oh, the Jets did that to Nile Davis. Yeah.
Yes. Just that tonight.
Yeah, I don't think CJ Spiller
sees it. Dwayne Allen is my only backup.
He's a scout
option.
Team guy.
But the thing, and the crazy thing about it is, like, I kind of want to play Dwayne Allen at tight end too, though, because I got Jared Cook. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like
this Jared Cook thing again.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave him in there. I bought it. You know what I'm saying? I bought it. I'm gonna own it. You whatever own the case it.
We get Florio to create a like a bumper, you know, like an open. And now talking about Corey's team, you know, here we
go. Now it's just me talking about my team.
No,
now
it's just me. We were all talking about our team.
You tried to single me out.
That
Scott.
Wasn't fair.
You do it more than the rest.
That
of
wasn't
us.
Fair, Corey. I apologize.
Thank you.
That wasn't fair.
He does it more than the rest of us.
I don't know. You talk about AJ Derby in the Greenwich Tavern League and Scott's Fishbowl repeatedly.
Yeah, well, you talked about your roommate for the entire first segment.
I thought it was a nice anecdote to start off the morning.
About yourself.
People like to get into our personal lives. People enjoy that.
Okay.
So I was telling a story.
Yeah.
So that's where I came from. I think Mike Florio, you enjoyed that story, did you not?
Yeah, I have a similar situation.
See?
I have roommates, so I could agree. When they're up, different time, it throws you off.
Screws you up. Thank you, Mike.
I'm just saying, you talk about yourself, too.
So. That's what I said. I said we all do. And you called that poor Corey.
I'm just saying, Corey talks a little bit more about his team than the rest of us.
Because I need to make – I got to win, Scott. This is important.
We have to win, too. Tony and I started off the show talking about between the two of us, we got seven must-win situations.
So you start talking about yourselves, then.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not as much as this guy does.
Wow.
No, now I'm a me guy.
Wow. Corey, to be fair, you are a me guy.
Yeah, well, okay.
And you're eccentric, like you pointed out.
Let's be fair about that. Let's be fair about that. So some headlines from yesterday. My guy Eli Manning, he apologized yesterday.
What?
He apologized to Sterling Shepard for not throwing in the ball at all.
Jesus, he didn't apologize to Sterling Shepard's fantasy owners too.
No, he should apologize, but he didn't.
You know, I am so tired of the NFL players.
I was waiting for this.
These Sterling shit, like, you got to apologize. You won an effing game. Isn't that what you're supposed to do, right? Go out and win it. Brandon Cooks should be, if I was the coach of the New Orleans Saints, I would keep Brandon Cooks' ass right on the bench this week and let him sit there and think about it. They scored 49 points, and this bitch is complaining that he didn't get the ball, and he doesn't like his role. 49 points.
Yeah.
Sit there. You get a paycheck every week.
Yeah, so that was the contrast, right? Like, Eli Manning apologized to Sterling Shepard, and they'll get him involved, obviously, next week.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Cooks comes out, like, you know what? I'm pretty pissed off.
These are the wrong guys apologizing, because why haven't we heard about Brock Osweiler apologizing to DeAndre Hopkins yet?
It makes sense, Scott. But this Brandon Cooks thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, is this a situation where the squeaky wheel gets the oil? Or
grease.
Just a situation
where the grease is in
there? Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
It's a Roto-World line. I know it well.
Now, or is this a
totally
situation where you look at it the way that Tony's looking at it, where, you know what, Sean Payton is like, I can keep your ass on the bench again this week.
So I think it's two different situations. That's what I want.
He's got a good schedule coming up, too.
So I think Eli Manning with Sterling Shepard, my bad, I'll make sure I get you involved, right? So I'm a Sterling Shepard owner, I feel very good.
Yeah, me too.
I feel very, very good. If I'm New Orleans, there's something going on here. Brandon Cook's frustrated with his role, then Sean Payton's like, sorry, we took what the defense gave us. I'm sorry, you take what the defense gave you. You scored 49 points at will. You had Willie Snead throw a touchdown to Tim Hightower.
Yeah.
You took what the defense gave you. My ass, you took what the defense gave you. There's something going on here with Brandon Cooks.
When Michael Thomas was on the show, I asked him about the Brandon Cooks situation.
Right.
And he said the Rams' pass rush dictates to more short passing, which is better for Thomas.
Right.
Whereas Brandon Cooks more get down the field type of thing.
Right.
And he also said that that Cooks will be back and he'll get his next week. But I think that, along with the fact that we saw those catches for Josh Hill, it probably was a game plan thing.
Right. So Willie Snead threw a touchdown pass to Tim Hightower.
Now that's the crazy part, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's
BS.
That's deceptive. No, see, I don't agree. I think they think two things. Brandon Cooks is a guy that I think will. His bitching will get him the ball. We see it time and time again this week. And I think it's right. They couldn't throw the ball deep. I mean, when you have a wide receiver throw the ball, it's deceptive. It's deception. Everybody on the defense stops, right? Mm-hmm. They stop for a second trying to figure out what's going on here. And then that's how you hold a pass rush. It's not like you could sit back and have a 7-step drop and have Drew Brees fire the ball down the field.
Yeah. I watched some of that game, and you know, to Corey's point about what he talked about to Thomas about strategically, I talked about it on Monday. You know, they were blitzing a lot, so Breeze had to get rid of the ball quickly, and that plays more to the other receiver's skill sets.
Yeah, I understand all that, but tell me you can't be targeted one time. That's not just game planning. I think Brandon Cooks pissed some people off, mainly Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Just my opinion.
Intriguing.
Just my opinion.
Do you think he voted for Hillary Clinton?
Well, this is Sean Payton. Is he a Trump guy?
I think he is. He seems like a Trump guy to me.
Let me ask you this, Greg.
Yes, sir.
A prescription medication.
He is, yes.
Let's say Tony hosted one day instead of you,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
And he kept going to me and Corey,
yeah,
you know, for analysis and didn't go to you, but it was the highest rated program so far. How
Scotty, I think it's a great analogy, actually. I think it's a great point. I think it's a great point. I would feel annoyed, right? Like, I wouldn't, like, I like to call myself a team player, but, like, yes, I'd be frustrated.
You're a me guy. Greg Sussman's a me guy.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think we're all me
guys. He'd wake his roommate up at 6 and 3 in the morning and tell him about it.
I think we're all me guys, honestly. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Scott's definitely a me guy.
Scott's definitely a me guy.
Yeah, the guy called himself the king. You
right,
know what
it's
I'm
a great
saying?
Point.
Well, somebody else gave me the nickname.
But
though.
Then you call yourself in third person in tweets. The king releases his ranking.
This guy, too, though, he wears a shirt, fantasy executive.
I never denied it, Scott. I'm like Keyshawn Johnson.
I never denied it either.
Yeah, I'm like Keyshawn
somebody else
Johnson.
Gave me my nickname, though. I think you named yourself, though.
Who gave you the nickname?
Mike Demergis.
Mike Demergis.
Oh, okay.
Original
that's
producer
the story.
The show.
Mike Demergis gave you the nickname, and you just took it and said, I'm now the king.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've had a few nicknames over the years.
Really? What are the other ones?
The other one was when I was doing...
Ballhead Stooge.
Yeah. Oh, that comes from the Dimwit, right?
Yeah.
The Dimwit, yeah. When I was doing national TV on DirecTV in Minnesota in 2000, I was called The Brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then there was Scotty
Love.
Back
in college, it was Scotty Love. Okay.
Yeah. He's making love to all the girls. Scotty Love. I like that, Scotty. I like Scotty Love.
Do you ever have a nickname, Sussman?
Sussmania.
Sussmania.
Right?
Besides that one.
I was G-Sus.
Oh, G-Sus. G-Sus. I like that.
That's cool.
G-Sus. Yeah.
So I used to have a column called G-Sus Talks.
Okay.
Get it?
Who gave you that nickname?
Do you get it?
G-Sus Talks.
Like
Jesus. Like Jesus.
Jesus
yeah.
Walks.
Like Jesus Walks. God. Yeah. Very good.
The Jewish guy is being called Jesus.
G-Sus, right?
Yeah.
That was part of that. And then I was also, my friends, is actually interesting. So my friends call me Pound.
Okay.
Because it went from, because I was sending links in our group, right?
Yeah.
And they told me to call me Link Boy. And then Link Boy was shortened to LB. LB, of course,
LB's
is short for Pound.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very
right.
good.
And then my latest nickname, which I have not accepted, but my latest nickname is after I picked up the Indianapolis defense when my friend's his grandparent passed away.
Yeah.
They're calling me Slime.
Slime, yeah, because it's slime you move.
Nice.
And they send gifts of slime constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Come on, Tony, you a nickname guy?
No, the only one I can remember when I was a teenager, the Mr. T was a big deal,
oh,
right?
And so that makes sense.
Mr. T,
Tony,
there you go.
People would call you Mr. T.
Yeah.
And I had a gold chain, too.
Oh,
really?
How about that?
I pity the fool from last night.
That's funny. Corey, what about you? You have any other nicknames as a fantasy executive?
Yeah, I've had a ton of nicknames. You know, I think they used to call me Scoop when I was in college. You know what I'm saying?
Scoop.
What did you scoop?
I didn't scoop nothing. They used to call me Scoop. My man Boogie.
You eat a lot of ice cream or something?
Nah, they used to call me Scoop. Well, you know what? Boogie was like a little bit overweight, so we used to call him Fat Man Scoop. You know what I'm saying? But then they started. Then Boogie said that I was his son because Boogie was a little bit like a me guy too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not your son, whatever. Then they started calling me Lil Scoop, and I was like,
I like Lil Scoop.
And look, you had to drop the little because I'm a big man.
Yeah.
Then they just started calling me Scoop. And then Florio laughing.
I remember at the last station we were at, though, there was a guy in the building that called you Sugar Man.
Yeah, whatever. and then when I came, you know, a little bit more recently, all my people was uptown. They called me. This is a little bit, you know. Now they call me Murder. You know what I'm
Murder.
Saying? Murder. Yeah.
Have you murdered anybody?
No, I have not. Sure. I have not. If I did, I wouldn't say it on the radio.
Are you sure?
No, but it's like my name is Corey. You know what I'm saying? So it starts with a C.
Right.
So, you know, C Murder from the No Limit.
No Limit Soldiers?
Yeah, from No Limit. Yeah.
Mace? Wasn't Mace in that?
No. This is Master P.
Oh, Master P, sorry.
Yeah.
I had one of those hip-hop nicknames. People called me Scott LaRock for a while.
Yeah, there you go, right
there. And then there was another one, Scottie Pippen. The college baseball team, they used to call me Pip for short.
And there you go. Yeah. So I was C Murder, then they dropped the C, and then it was just Murder. You know, so
I don't think we should call you Murder.
No, that's not professional.
I'm not going to call you Murder.
But you guys, Fantasy Executive, Scoop for the College Crew, right. And then C Murder. And then the young lady, like when I was in grade school, I had a crush on a girl.
Yes.
Whatever. She used to call me a pipsqueak. So, you know, and that kind of that kind of stuck for a little bit too.
Pipsqueak. Why did you?
Because I was diminutive. You know what I'm saying?
Where?
How old were you?
I was like 8-9 years old, Tony. It stuck me for a little bit too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you know she used to call me a pipsqueak. But now she be in my DM. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So sliding in there.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a few other nicknames around here, don't we?
Well, we'll talk about those when we come back.
Yeah.
Stick around. Road Rush for the morning rolls on
out
after
of
this.
Costanza.
Roto experts in the morning rolling on here. Somebody got to tell like nicknames. Florio, what are your nicknames you got? You're barely out of college. What nicknames do you have?
To be honest, everyone my whole life has just called me my last name.
Florio.
Yeah, it's...
Your parents call you Florio?
No, they call me Mike.
Mm. Not Michael?
No one actually... It actually got to the point where it's kind of weird when someone calls me Michael now.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, Florio, what'd your girlfriend call you?
She calls me usually Mike, sometimes Michael.
Oh, she doesn't have a nickname for like a you know, sugar beer, something like that.
That's yours.
No, yeah, that's all you call. You're a big man.
you're right.
844-843.
I am Florio.
6879, 844-843-6879.
We gotta give Florio a nickname.
Speaking of Florio and nicknames, let's talk to your girl, Kels.
Kels, what up, Kels?
Kels,
what up,
girl?
What up, Kels?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, girl? How you doing, baby?
I'm pretty good.
Okay.
It's nice talking to you.
Yeah.
Kelly, I'll bet you're a girl with a nickname or two.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, because I'm really tall, my nickname is Legs.
Ooh.
Nice. Play a little ZZ Top. Yeah, there we go.
I should have a theme song.
Okay, what's going on, Kel? What do you got for us?
You got any more nicknames, Kel, before Legs and what else?
Now, Scott, you'll like this one. They used to call me Gene Simmons.
Oh, Gene.
Really?
Oh, why?
Can't you figure it out?
You got a long tongue?
Yeah.
Really?
All right. Goddess of Thunder. How about that?
Yeah, we're finding out a lot about this one. I can't imagine the next nickname.
This is the most interesting call of the year.
No, that was yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yesterday with Jake. That was pretty good.
I'm looking up flights to Tampa right now.
All right, what do we got here, Kel? We got a minute before we got to go.
I'm wondering, should I drop Smallwood to pick up Kenneth Dixon?
John Wendell, Smallwood, pick up Kenneth Dixon, Scotty.
So you give us those tick names.
And then talking about a Smallwood. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if I would do it just quite yet because we don't know when Matthews is coming back. And I feel like Smallwood have more ball carrying opportunities here if, you know, to be that regular back. If Matthews, we're going to talk to Dr. A again today, but Dr. A said, last week, and then it came out later in the week from the rest of the media that, you know, he cannot be himself. Matthews might not be himself for a few weeks. So I'd probably hold on to Smallwood.
Yeah, I like Smallwood too, Kels.
Yeah, he always has.
Okay. You guys are crazy.
Agree.
Scott, you said you're going to get a flight to Tampa. Why?
What?
I heard you say you're going to get a flight to Tampa. Why?
He did say that. I heard that.
Hey, why'd you say that?
Why'd you say that?
I'm curious. Told me her nicknames.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's your wife's nickname?
Wait, what's your wife's nickname?
26 years.
What? What's your wife's nickname?
That's not for you to know.
What happened
name
to the
is
happy
mind
marriage?
Your business.
The happy marriage of 26 years.
Yeah, the happy marriage is going to get a flight to Tampa. What's up with that, happily married? What's up with that flight to Tampa?
I might be bringing somebody with me.
Oh, you're going to take it? Yeah. Oh, you're going
to take that kind of action.
Kelly didn't invite your wife.
Yeah. I talked to Kelly offline. You don't know what's going on, yes, Usman.
Oh, boy.
To be honest with you, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Scott. I mean, Victoria was walking here right now. You'd be like, hey, baby, this is how you doing.
How you doing, girl?
We going to Tampa.
Yeah. I don't know how she feel about that. Yeah. Being honest with you. Sorry.
We could call and ask.
Yeah, how about that? We got phone line right over here, Scott.
Yeah. Is she I got weird? Text. You know, it's an update.
No, let's call on air.
Technological age,
Corey. Let's call on air, Scott.
Nah, my wife doesn't want to come on the radio.
Oh.
No.
Nah. I don't know. Never asked.
I could have got you right there, too, but I probably would have gotten in trouble because, like, you used the word just now, and I'd have said something else. It would have been very funny.
I was thinking it.
You
too,
had it too, huh, Tony?
I'm happy you refrained. Scott's our friend. We don't want to upset Scott.
Yeah, we don't want to get.
Yeah, that'd have been too much.
I'm happy.
Yeah. I don't know. Greg's my friend.
I'm your friend, Scott. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Remember that always. Next time you bring up my kickball games.
All right. So I bring it up. I'm your friend. I want to see you succeed in kickball.
When we come back, more headlines from week number 13. Playoff push is on. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Advanced Scout is up now from Scott Angle, the king. Looking at handcuffs you want to own for the playoffs. You can get that at RotoExperts.com inside the exclusive Edge package using free radio when you check out. And speaking of just that, I want to go to David from Florida who has a question for you, Scott Angle. Good morning, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It actually kind of leads right into my question. I have no real standout at RB1. I have Gurley, Kenneth Dixon. I have Robert Kelly, Deion Lewis, Powell, Wendell Smallwood. My question, I also have Benny Cunningham. That's my only handcuff to kind of lead into what you're talking about. I don't even know if that's worth holding a handcuff for Todd Gurley. So what I was kind of thinking is with Abdullah and Charles Sims kind of on the waiver wire and coming back, are they worth dropping Smallwood and maybe Cunningham and picking up those two?
I'd probably say no. I was just talking to Kelly from Tampa about this. Smallwood, if Matthews doesn't come back for a few weeks here or is not himself, he's going to be the lead running back in terms of carries. You want to keep Cunningham in case anything happens to Gurley.
Sure.
Charles Sims is going to be complimentary back. And what was the other one that you mentioned picking up?
Abdullah.
Yeah, Abdullah's done nothing in his career so far to merit a pickup.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just sit tight with my 11-1 lineup.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, thank you guys for all your help.
Absolutely,
David. I appreciate it.
11-1. You know David from Florida. He's a Roto Expert subscriber. He's your advanced scout, Scotty. So he'll be good to go going forward here. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have the sniffles or something. It's a lot of dust in this studio.
Scotty, you were mentioning during your update about Tyrell Williams, and he's got a labrum issue here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we don't know if it's torn yet or not.
We don't know what the deal is.
That's the thing that screwed up Eric Decker.
It is. Yeah. Now, and he's out for quite a while, and it kind of changed my mindset here because I heard you talking about it last week on maybe earlier this week even, Corey, on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever about Tyrell Williams, and I like this guy a lot. I think he's super duper talented, and he's somebody that I like the rest of the way if he stays on the field. And I like him next year too. And I was wondering how much you guys like him next year. So I got a couple either ors I wanted to throw out at you for next year. I know it's so far.
Now remember, Keenan Allen is going to be back next year.
Tyrell Williams or Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen.
Okay.
Keenan Allen.
Well, I mean, these guys are never.
Don't forget about Tyrell Williams though. As much as Allen gets hurt,
I
Why would he not? Of course, he's not going to forget the either or was Tyrell Williams or Keenan Allen.
Was the purpose of it, Scott?
But my point is, though, you try to follow it here, is that Allen will be the guy, but you get hurt again, and Williams is still the guy again.
So, which one would you rather have?
Right now?
No, next year.
Next. Well, Scott, no, you can't have Keenan Allen right now.
That's true. I say Allen.
All right, so you're gonna go Allen. All right.
I haven't even finished the playoffs yet, and I'm already looking forward to it. Well, Scott,
it's a part of it.
Who would you rather have, Tyrell Williams or Randall Cobb?
That's interesting.
Tyrell Williams.
Corey?
Devontae Adams, the guy in Green Bay.
Probably Tyrell Williams.
Tony?
Randall Cobb, if he's in Green Bay.
Okay. Tyrell Williams or Rishard Matthews?
Rishard Matthews. I like the young quarterback and developing quarterback.
Rishard Matthews.
Tone?
Tyrell Williams. They don't throw the ball enough in Tennessee. You take those touchdowns. We could have an Allen Hurns situation with Rishard Matthews.
It's a good point. It's a very good point.
That is a good point.
I like that comparison, Tony. Tyrell Williams or Brandon Marshall?
Tyrell Williams.
Quickly answered by Scott Angle.
Yeah.
That quarterback situation is probably not going to get no better. No, I go Tyrell Williams.
What if Tony Romo's the quarterback there?
Let's not do that.
I'm just saying. That could change things. That could change things. All right.
I go Williams in that one, too. I think 33-year-old Brandon Marshall.
Take a step back.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ends soon. Soon it's going to end for him.
You know how we were talking about these defenses earlier? Thank you, Florio. You know how he does a great job. You know how we were talking about these defenses earlier, right? You think it's a bad idea to just, like, say, forget it, and then, like, I got the Titans defenses on a bye, and be like, you know what, I'm not fooling with no other defenses. I'm just going to leave them in there and take the donut.
That's lazy.
How are you? Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Because what if you got a team, what if you got a league where you can go into the negative fooling around with some of these shaky defenses?
Well, then you take a defense where, you know, it's facing a team that's not likely to score a high amount of points.
Like Dallas versus Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got to win them in Fab first. Be talking to the whole country. Somebody in my league might outbid me. I only got $19 left.
Oh, I got Dallas already, so I feel
Yeah, you feel
I'm
good.
Comfortable. I got Dallas tonight.
Dallas don't get no turnovers, though.
Yeah.
But the
now they're 22nd
well.
In the league in sacks, too.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, Minnesota not going to put up points, but the turnovers, you know, it's like they don't have enough on offense to turn the ball over either.
All right, hold on. So if you guys don't like that. Yeah, you guys don't like that one. Let me go through the ones that are on free agency now. I tried for Miami. I didn't get them. You know, I tried for Miami.
Yeah, well, I don't have Miami on mine. Mine is barren.
I didn't get them.
It's barren. It's like Tampa Bay. Atlanta.
I like it. We spent a lot of time on defenses thanks to you this week.
I know. Well, go ahead. Go. Let's change the subject.
It's okay. I got
a lot of the listeners are dealing with this, too, though.
Oakland and Buffalo, we talked about yesterday.
Well, see, Oakland is intriguing.
I would take
intriguing.
Oakland out of those.
Yeah. There you go.
I'd rather Dallas than Oakland, I think.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay. So that's what I got.
How much is Tyrod going to turn the ball over, though?
So the other real question I have is Washington. I can do Washington.
I don't have Washington.
Is Carolina available?
Yes.
Get them.
Why?
Because they're like fourth in the league in sacks in the Seattle offensive line.
That's true, too.
I don't like them in Seattle, though. I think it's a bad spot.
You're looking for sacks and turnovers, not who's going to win the ball game.
That's true.
Last time they played, the Panthers won.
Yeah, that's when the Panthers were good last year.
The NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Cowboys haven't been there in a while.
That is true. But so you guys like Carolina over Dallas? Tony, you like Carolina over Dallas too?
Yeah, Russell Wilson has been struggling from a passing perspective. He runs around, which is also conducive to sacks.
I didn't think about that.
How did Carolina defense do last week? They were bad last week, weren't they? I don't know.
They played an epic 35-32 game.
They did. That's what I thought. It is tough.
You're looking for sacks, you know, with them. They may not get the turnovers, but they'll get the sacks.
Let's see. Last week they had 5 points. Huh. Okay. I'm probably gonna go with Dallas.
The Raiders have a much better offensive line.
They do.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna go with Dallas, though, to be honest with you.
I would stick with Dallas.
I would go with Carolina.
All right, whatever. Let's move on here, guys. And something else we're gonna talk about with Dr. A at the bottom of the hour, is Derek Carr. Because I want to know how worried I should be about this twice dislocated pinky. That doesn't sound so good. I know he returned to the game. I know he's going to play. Tony, what is the deal with that, and how concerned should we be for if we're a Derek Carr owner or if we're a Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper owner?
Neither. The guy you should be concerned about is Latavius Murray. They're going to run every play out of shotgun, I think. I don't think he can take a snap.
Oh, that's a good point.
So basically, how many running plays are designed out of the shotgun? Teams do it, but it really hurts the output there. And Latavius Murray is already one of those guys that's on the fringe. So I think out of all the guys that get hurt, he's the number one guy. It's Latavius Murray.
I think that's a great point. Latavius Murray, the shotgun, certainly more conducive than having that. Have the center hit your pinky every single time. Now, Tony, do you know, because I didn't see it, did after he got injured, did he run any plays not out of the shotgun?
No. Every play was out of shotgun after he got injured.
I think it's a great, great point, folks, that you're going to have to worry about. Scotty, will you bench Latavius Murray now this week?
In the Greenwich Street Tavern League, I can't. I don't have anybody better on my bench.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'll have to ask Dr. Ray here coming up in a little bit about that exact situation. It's a great point, Tony.
So hold on. Explain this to me again. Why are we benching Latavius Murray?
Because you're going to be out of shotgun the entire game. No.
When you get to the goal line, though, where Murray's the most valuable, though, he can't go shotgun.
You're going to. He can't take a snap.
He's got
to
go. He can't take a snap.
He can't take a snap from
under
center.
Give him an inside handoff. Flip it to him.
Well, they could do that.
Throw a screen.
Well, they could do that.
Throw a screen.
They could go.
Yeah, they
adjust.
Could do that too, sure.
They could.
Murray's still their best goal line option.
Right. I'm not saying it's going to be obsolete. I'm just saying when you notoriously running backs have a tougher time running the ball out of shotgun.
Yeah, we saw Adrian Peterson that screwed him up.
Yeah, so I just think it's something that you should definitely be aware of. He does catch the ball out of the backfield. It's just one of those things that it's going to be a little
tough. Latavius Murray, though, when I watch him, though, it's like, you know, he's this big, strong running back.
He's big.
But then, like, he doesn't make anybody miss. It's like four yards
slow.
And a cloud of dust.
He's not impressive, I'll be honest with you.
But he gets in the end zone constantly because that offense is so good.
They got a good offense.
Yeah. Now, see, I could bench him this week. But I would play Matt Asiata. And this is, I'm looking forward to
this. Yeah, but Asiata is
the same thing. It's a touchdown.
See, Murray is 30 yards and a touchdown. Asiata is 3 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true, but Asiata might have a better shot at a touchdown.
I don't know about that. Murray's got a better offense.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
I'm going to stick with Murray.
What about that fullback that they give it to at the goal line?
Odwale?
Yeah, Odwale. Yeah.
I'm not signing him.
No, I don't want you to sign him. I just say you can steal a touchdown with Latavius Murray, too.
That would suck when I need Latavius Murray in Week 13. You know, he's not been all that impressive, Scott.
He's been a goal line back.
He has 9 touchdowns.
That's a lot. Yeah, a lot of touchdowns. Hey, Scotty, we talked yesterday a little bit about this guy, but Mike Tomlin comes out and says, listen, Ladarius Green, he's improving every week. The conditioning is improving every week. He's going to get more snaps every week. Ladarius Green this week, Scotty, or Jared Cook?
Ladarius Green. But, you know, I can't have a whole lot of faith in it. It's like I don't know where the ball's going outside of Antonio Brown in that offense.
I agree.
Yeah, it's Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and that's it. You know, that's it.
Okay.
The Giants are playing good defense too.
Yep. So you're not getting involved there.
No, they're better tight ends out there. You know, I got Vance McDonald. I'm not gonna mess with
AJ Derby. Would you rather AJ Derby or Ladarius Green?
Ladarius Green for more upside, but you know I'm interested to see how Derby can continue to progress.
Okay. We talked yesterday about Ryan Fitzpatrick remaining the quarterback of the New York Jets at least for this week, which of course makes no sense at all for the team, but that's okay. Brandon Marshall, Quincy Enunwa, probably in a better spot here. Other big news, and this is good for tomorrow night's game. Stephon Diggs practiced the last 2 days, Tony, which means I think he's going to be good to go this week. He's locked and loaded, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in the Monday-Thursday matchups, I put him in my lineup, and his salary was high enough that I could get out and go to Dez Bryant or go to Adam Thielen. But he's a guy, I think he gets targeted 18 times in this game.
All right, so you are buying that Stephon Diggs just comes back full throttle here this week.
Oh, I'm all in. Whether you're in a playoff or DFS, he's a top play this week.
Okay. Stephon Diggs, top play this week in one of those Monday-Thursday games or Thursday.
You put him in your lineup, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be the only weapon to fight back, really.
Right, fight back. Yeah. You think he's going
to
be a blow.
And they don't throw it to anyone else when he plays. It's crazy.
It is.
I think we'll take pretty good care.
Then Rudolph will catch one one catch for 1 yard and a touchdown.
Titans normally do well against the Cowboys. But I'm not trusting Kyle Rudolph again, ever.
Ever. He's out of the circle of trust.
Yeah, he's out of it.
They have an NFL show where it's like the pimp your ride version.
Trick your ride. I watched that last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach Rudolph was one. He's not that big outside of a uniform. Like, he looked like a normal guy. He looks very big on Sundays.
Interesting. He's got a lot of tattoos now.
Kyle Rudolph?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't. This is news to me. I never seen this program.
I watched it last night. What they do is, it's kind of like the Pimp Your Ride show. What they do is they take your car, and Lamar Woodley and this guy who like designs car, they pick out fans, and they go to the team will pick out a fan, and they'll go to their house, and they'll make that car into the car of their favorite team.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But like, I was watching it last night.
How did Kyle Rudolph get in it?
Because they involve a player. Like, I was watching the Seahawks one last night.
Oh, who was on it?
Cliff Averill and Bobby Wagner.
Oh, boy.
And they picked out a Seahawk fan who had done, like, a lot of work in the community.
They didn't pick you, though.
What?
They didn't pick you.
Well, I haven't done a lot of community work. You know what I'm saying?
No, this is what you do right here with the Fantasy Sports Network. You're a Hall of Famer.
This guy actually changed his middle name to Seahawk. Legally, right? And they went to his house, and they took his old 92 Dodge Ram and turned it into a complete Seahawk truck.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it had the classic logo.
Yeah. Oh, they had the old school joint?
Old school, yeah.
That's an ice guy.
Yeah.
You should.
I don't think Tom Brady would show up. Do you think he would? I don't think he'd
show up. No, they probably wouldn't send Tom Brady. They'd probably send, like, you know,
James White.
Yeah.
Brady's like above that. Yeah.
I don't know. I could see Gronk showing up to pick.
Oh, yeah. Gronk could definitely do it. Yeah. Gronk could definitely do it.
Yeah. That guy will be anywhere they put him on TV.
And then the truck would have a broken tire or something.
we'll take a break here. When we come back, it's time to go over some snap counts here.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Well, I know it's one of your favorite parts of the morning here, Corey. So we will do it next on the Roto Experts.
I need to get some paper.
So a listener just texted me saying, so before we went to break, we heard Corey go, I need to get some paper.
Hey, tell the listeners, don't be trying to make fun of me.
Why?
Because that's not nice.
I mean, it's part of the program, though.
Yeah.
No, it's part of the program. Hey, we got
Easy Wider.
No, not that. I'm talking about loose leaf.
Got a listener question here. Tweeted me saying, flex one of these guys, gentlemen. Bilal Powell, Kenny Stills, or Kenny Britt?
I'd go Bilal Powell, catching passes out of the backfield and possible carries.
Corey?
I think I like the Powell, too. I'm a Powell guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I go Powell, too.
You like Walter Powell, too?
I don't know who that is.
For the Buffalo Bills.
I never. Oh, yeah. He's an offensive lineman?
No, he's a wide receiver.
Not familiar with him.
You know, Norman Powell.
Who's Norman Powell?
He's a small forward.
Boog Powell.
For what team?
He plays for the Raptors.
Okay.
Drake's team.
Yeah. What about Dwight Powell?
Yeah, he plays for the Mavericks.
Colin Powell.
Yeah. What about Nolan Carroll? He plays a cornerback.
I know Colin Powell. He's from the Bronx.
You think Nolan Carroll?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nolan Carroll. All right. Yep. You went to the University of Maryland.
There you go.
There you go.
Fear the turtle.
All right, so Bilal Powell for you guys. Okay, let's do some snap count, shall we? Everybody knows how this one works. Actually, before we do that, I want to let's go to Keith from Chicago. Is he still around here, Florio? All right, Keith from Chicago, you're up next here on the Roto Experts in the morning. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you been?
Oh, good. Now Scott made a Keith joke. Oh, good. How are you?
What's up, Keith?
What's the matter with him?
I don't know. I don't know
what Sussman's talking.
The ball head stooge.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
I got a couple line of questions from you guys.
What's your scenario before? Keith, let me ask you this now. Come on, you're just not gonna sit up here and use us. You know what I'm saying? What is your scenario like? Do you need to win to get in? Or are you playing for a playoff seed?
No. That was actually my third question. I'm sitting in fourth place. I'm playing the number one team who's kicking everyone's butt right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out. So when you go into the playoffs, it's 1-8 and all that kind of stuff. We don't reseed. So if I finish in fourth place, I'm stuck playing against the number one guy in the next week of the playoffs.
So y'all can go back to back. Well, he should have a bye, right?
No, we have 12 team league, so it's 1-8.
You take eight teams in the playoffs?
So basically, you just don't suck.
Yeah, we do.
What is it, like the National Hockey League? What is this?
No. We start week 14, so we go 14-15.
But I'm saying too many teams make the playoffs. 8 out of 12, it's like that's – I don't like that.
So you can end up playing this guy 2 weeks in a row.
There's a possibility, or I can either tank and get out of his way or take my chances, try to beat him 2 weeks in a row. Being from the East Coast, I'd rather go head-on-head with him and try to kick his, you know.
I know, I agree with you. That's
we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if you listened to the show.
Yeah, the other clowns wouldn't be with you. They'd be avoiding him.
No, but he's not speaking
to
me.
Guys, I listen to you all day long. I work out of my home if I'm not traveling. You guys are in the back of my mind, and I'm just listening to you fools all day long. So.
Well, yeah, we talked about this yesterday. I think you might have taken a day off. We discussed this extensively yesterday.
Yeah, that's
what I
think
he's traveling.
To Chicago.
So I agree with you. I would take the guy head on, but I think Sussman is a fantasy executive. We'd be trying to manipulate the standings and losing their ethics and try to lose a game on purpose.
How do you feel about...
I just try to win, period.
Now, let me ask you this. It's not a situation where if you lose, you can drop all the way out. That's not going to happen, right?
No. I'm already set for the playoffs.
So you're not going to lose by losing.
So are you locked into the 4 seed, or are you okay? Or if you lose, can you drop down to the 5 seed?
He loses his integrity, Sussman. He loses his integrity.
No, because we got power rankings that determine where you fall in the playoffs. You know, you got your points, you got your power rankings against the other team, then you get your record. So you put those three combined, and it says, okay, this is where you seed in the playoffs. Right now I'm seeding in 4th in the playoffs because of my points total against who I would have played that week against my record.
Okay.
It's a CBS league, so we do that whole power ranking deal.
Right, yeah.
So what's more important, though, Tony? Him trying to manipulate the league to try to win a championship or integrity?
Integrity. You can never lose your integrity, but you can lose leagues and play in another one.
Okay, but here's another deal. I'm two-time winner in my league.
Yeah, so, you won it before, so it's no big deal.
Yes, it is, because I've been running my mouth. I got a brand new shirt I break out every year, you know.
Oh, you talk trash like me. That's what's up.
Well, because I'm that ass that all I do is listen to fantasy football all day long. I already know who's going to be picked out. I've got all you guys on my Twitter account. So all I'm doing is working it. These guys are actually working, so they always get aggravated with me. Because they're like, dude, you work too much on fantasy football. And I go, no. I listen to the boys on the radio, and I follow them on Twitter. That's why I get my information better than you guys. My problem is I made one stupid move at number one this year, and I picked up Gurley instead of DJ, which would have made my whole season different.
Yes.
Happens,
yeah,
bro.
But you know what? It's 15 weeks later, you know, you're in the playoffs. Why kick yourself? Don't look at the negative.
I always got to look at
obviously, you overcame that. I look at it as a positive instead.
Yeah, well. I look at a stupid move, so.
No, I don't. You're still there. You're in the playoffs. Yeah, you overcame that.
Yeah, I get you.
Stop being a pessimist.
Okay.
How can we help you?
Let me get to my two questions here. So I got either Seattle defense against a team that's on the ropes in Carolina, who I think is going to be throwing the ball. And Seattle's defense hasn't been all that great.
No, they haven't.
Or I got Miami against a Baltimore defense, offense, where Flacco is very easy to throw 1, 2, 3 interceptions. I'm thinking Miami, even though Seattle is ranked higher.
I would go Miami there. You know, I like their matchup better.
Okay. And my other question is, I just picked up who I hated picking him up because of his values. I picked up Kaepernick this week, and I can either play him or I can play Winston, who I've been running with all year long. Kaepernick's playing Chicago, so he could be scoring tons of points this week. I just don't like the guy.
Here we have the Colin Kaepernick situation, right? In our face, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter what you personally feel about Colin Kaepernick. You want the points. You want to win.
I agree.
I don't get... I don't get the whole aspect of not putting a guy in your fantasy football because you don't like him. Because I've slept with women I don't like.
Hey, let me.
Wait, Tony. You may also live with a woman you don't like.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, you put it all in perspective. So put Colin Kaepernick in your lineup.
There you go.
If it was a situation where you had to play between let's say like Colin Kaepernick and Jared Goff, is the disgust for Colin Kaepernick that strong? He left.
I wanted
to interview.
Yeah, no, discussing Kaepernick.
We're discussing Kaepernick. Yeah.
He ran and put Kaepernick in his lineup really quick.
Yeah. But here we got that about throwing a fantasy game.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think it's a really interesting topic.
You know,
I
thought more about what Tony said with collusion, though.
Yes.
And kind of like, even though it didn't fit the dictionary definition of it, though.
Which we looked at.
I know what he was talking about, though, because in real sports, if you throw a game, that's really bad. You know, like, look back in sports history. You know, like, you're throwing a game. You're throwing a game. What makes it right in fantasy when it's not right in real life?
Okay, hold on. Let me answer that. You are locked into a playoff spot, right?
Yeah.
Locked into a playoff spot.
Right.
You're week 17 in the NFL, right? You're locked in. Nothing's going to change for you. You don't really care about what your opponent does to you.
Yeah.
But you bet your guys. You bet your players in the NFL.
Same thing.
You don't really care what the other team does. You bet your players it's best for you.
That allowed the Jets to get in the playoffs one year.
Absolutely, with Cincinnati.
Yeah, and the Jets went to the – and then they go to the AFC Championship
game? They certainly did.
Yeah.
Or you could play like Tom Coughlin in a meaningless game, take on the undefeated New England – put all your starters on the field, go to the end of the game, and then crush them in the Super Bowl.
It's true.
Yeah.
Two ways of looking at it.
Basically what you're doing is like if it's an NFL game, you're coming out and kneeling on the ball.
No, you're just putting
it in – beginning of the game.
You're putting it in your reserves, what you're doing.
You're not putting But you're not putting in your reserves because you're worried they're going to get injured in fantasy.
Well, because you can't control
that.
I wish you could.
You want your backers to get some time. You want your whole team to feel good when you win a championship.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, every now and then, Andre Ellington deserves to get a little burnt.
He deserves to
Jared Cook one more chance.
Yeah. That's what Jack is the best game of his life.
You know, Donald Trump complains about the media. You know who has the worst media in the world? The Roto experts. And the coverage of this Joe's pros, they've never interviewed me once, right?
Right.
And I see these guys that are in 10th place getting interviewed and guys in 11th place getting interviewed. What the hell's going on?
You sound like a me guy right now.
He wants to be interviewed. I'll contact Tim McCullough, who writes the article.
It's the liberal media.
Interview you.
Yeah, it's the media. The media's rigged.
Yeah, the liberal media.
Liberal media. That's what it is. Let's take a break now.
I'm going to be eliminated in this league, I think.
Same. Let's take a break now. We'll get the snap counts. Oh, we got Dr. Ray on the other side, right? We got Dr. Ray on the other side, I think.
Yeah.
We got a Snapcast Dr. Ray. That's going to wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. We'll play a little buy or sell. Come up at 9. Stick around. Roto Experts continues on after this. We return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Dr. Ray in a little bit from the inside injuries here. And as we wait for Dr. A, let's get into the snap count, shall we? From last week, week number 12 in the NFL. Is it a predictor for week number 13? I think that's up to you to figure out. Gentlemen, Corey, did you find your paper?
I got my telephone.
Your telephone.
Right here.
Yeah. All right. So you're gonna have to use that telephone because it's time to get a Snapcast. Is there any team that you're interested in guessing first, sir?
No. You do a good job at
moving it around.
Yeah, you do a good job of doing it, so go ahead.
All right. I want to start then in New York. All of you guys chose Bilal Powell for the question that we had, right? Bilal Powell over Kenny Britt and over the other, and Kenny Stills as well. What is the snap count difference between Bilal Powell and Matt Forte this past week in a good game against the Patriots? Remember that. The number is 59.
59. I'm going to say 31 for Forte, 28 for Powell.
Ring the bell!
Nice job, Scotty.
Ring the bell on the dot, Scott Angle. 31-28. Nice job. So that was You can't ring your own bell.
I'm not going to realize
these bell rules.
Hey, there's bell rules.
Come on now, get
you.
It together, Scott.
Yeah. So there you go.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
Bilal Powell, Matt Forte, basically evenly split. So you like that here from Bilal Powell. I'm not going to go to Oakland because Latavius Murray dominated snaps. He had 48 of them. DeAndre Washington did not have an offensive snap in this game. Jalen Richard, the true backup.
I think I saw DeAndre Washington who had one play, and he had a run, and they called it back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that didn't count then.
Yeah.
All right. Let's now go to Washington. They faced the Dallas Cowboys last week.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Watch that game. What was the snap count difference between Chris Thompson and Robert Kelly if I told you the number was 75?
50 for Kells, 25 for...
Nice and easy. 50 and 25.
50
and right.
25.
52, 23.
In favor of?
In favor of Kelly.
Chris Thompson at 43.
Really?
Robert Kelly at 32.
Okay.
Chris Thompson more. Now, I know they were in comeback mode and they were throwing the ball a lot, so that's certainly part of the reason.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You're right.
But Chris Thompson dominated this, and that's what it is. Rob Kelly is between the tackles running back, and that's all he is, so don't expect anything more.
Makes sense.
Just saying.
Yeah, they have the clearly defined roles there.
How about this one, guys? In Indianapolis, Frank Gore and your boy, Corey, Bob Turbin, the number is 61.
Indianapolis. Frank Gore and Bob the number is what?
61.
41-20.
41-20 in favor of Frank Lee Gore.
Frank Gore.
All right. Scott.
I'm going to say 38-22.
You're closer. It was 36-25. Does that surprise you at all?
A little bit. You know, I expected less from Turbin, but... Yeah.
You got to put your mic on.
No. I had to scratch my dome. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's intriguing. Who did they play last week?
They were in comeback mode in Indianapolis versus Pittsburgh.
There you go. Maybe
but
that's
a rookie vote. Scott Tolzien at quarterback. You think Frank Gore would be in there?
Yeah, that's true too. It's interesting. I wonder if Frank Gore is slowing down.
How about this?
Doesn't seem like it.
Tevin Coleman's first game back. The number is 71. Scotty.
I'm going to say 71. I'm going to say 40-31 Devonta Freeman.
Oh, man. I was going to say 40-31.
But I did.
Then I'll go 39-32.
Ring the bell, Corey Parsons. 39-32 on the nose. Devonta Freeman.
If I'm a Tevin Coleman owner, that's great news.
That is excellent news. That's excellent news if you're a Tevin Coleman owner.
Absolutely. He got right back into his role.
He would have scored this week.
He would have scored, tripped over his own feet.
Huh?
You rang your own bell.
Scott, would you stop ringing the damn bell, Scott?
He made the rules.
Ring the bell, Scott.
I had a better bell ring than that.
Yeah. Ring the bell like a man.
Shut up, pipsqueaks.
That bell ring was the pussification of America.
I shouldn't
right
have
there.
Told Scott the pipsqueak thing, and now you're going to use it on me.
He is. Yeah, you got to be thrilled.
He never beats anything into the ground.
Yeah. Why don't you tell another Bill Cosby joke?
I'm not into Bill Cosby. It's very wrong what he did.
All right, here we go.
Scott.
In New England, this is the one you've been waiting for, right?
Oh, this is a goodie right
here.
This
is the good one. I'm going to make you do all three this week. For all three, there were 76 snaps. 76 snaps between LeGarrette Blount, James White, and Deion Lewis. Tony, you're going to go first here. You watch this game. You're a Patriots fan. 76 snaps.
20,
how did you do it?
25 for Dixon. 25 for White, 26 for Blount.
Okay, so Dixon doesn't play for this team, so we'll just assume you mean Deion Lewis.
Oh, geez.
What is that again? What did you say again?
25, 25, and 26 with Blount the leader.
Okay, 25, 25, 26 with Blount the leader. Okay, Scott.
I'm going to say 36 for Blount.
Okay.
21 for Lewis and 19 for White.
Okay.
I'm going to say 27 for White.
Okay.
23 for Blount. 26 for Lewis.
So here's what's interesting. Corey, you actually got every number right. But you signed it to the wrong guys.
So who led the backfield?
LeGarrette Blount had 27. James White had 26. Deion Lewis at 23.
I had them mixed up.
You had all three of them mixed up, actually.
Jeez.
What do you
want?
But you got all the numbers right. Yeah. And I still find it interesting that despite Deion Lewis's increased production, more carries, more receptions, that it was James White that had more snaps in this game.
That's interesting. I could have swore I think. Yeah, I just told you. Why are you looking at me like that?
Scott, you're just staring. Is something going on?
No, just listen to what he's saying.
No, he's making me nervous.
Do you have
a
comment on that?
No.
You don't have a comment on the snaps?
I just thought he was interesting the way it turned out, the way Corey did it.
Okay. This is creepy. Tony. It was.
What was creepy?
Maybe the fantasy.
Because I asked you if you had a comment, you just said no.
I didn't. So move on, moderator.
I'm going to. Yeah. Tennessee.
Tony was about to say something. I'm curious.
All right. Yeah. What were you going to say, Tony? Is it appropriate?
The fantasy exec. Yeah, the fantasy executive. Maybe he was just so good in his delivery that the angle was looking.
There was nothing to add there. You know?
All right, well, I don't know. I mean,
try to dominate things
radio
like
show,
Sussman,
like,
you know?
Yeah, it's a radio show, though, Scott. Like, even if you have nothing to add on the topic, you could have talked about Scotty Love or anything.
Tennessee, the number is 65. Derrick Henry increased reps. Mike Mularkey's going to get him more involved. He likes him in short yard situations here. DeMarco Murray, remember, was pissed off when he got pulled out of this game. Lost a touchdown here. So 65 is the number between Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. Remember, the Titans are on a bye, Scott Angle.
I'm going to say 34 to 31, Murray.
34 to 31 with DeMarco Murray. Yeah. Tony Cincata.
45-20, DeMarco Murray.
45-20, DeMarco Murray.
That's the executive one I was going to go, 45-20.
Okay.
So 45. So I go 44-21.
What are you laughing at that for?
This number. Just dropped it down.
You just like dropped it down.
No, that's what he did last time. And he won.
Yeah.
Did I win again?
You did not. Because you guys are all wrong. 51-14.
DeMarco Murray.
What is he crying about?
Excuse me. Yeah, what is he crying about?
Then he didn't get the ball in the key goal line situations.
That they scored on. He's talking about me first.
That's what it is. He wanted to get the touchdown. Like that son of a gun.
Son of a gun. 51-14.
He's a guy. Yeah, he's a guy allegedly that had an affair with his former Oklahoma State
I didn't hear this.
Wife.
Really?
Oklahoma wife. Oh, yeah, look at
this. You didn't hear about this, Greg?
No, I
spray
missed
tan.
It. What happened?
He got his little piece, whatever. I guess it's like little living girlfriend, his main joint. Oh, it might be his whatever. So, but he was still dating one of the shorties back from Oklahoma, right?
Okay, all right.
And she was saved in his phone, the way it happened was she was saved in his phone and spray tan. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But the dude, that was his name. Yeah, she was saved in his phone and spray tan.
Right.
But the dude that she was dating is currently on the team.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think him and DeMarco Murray might be like in boys or something like that.
On the Titans?
So he put not on the Titans, on the Oklahoma team.
Okay.
So I think he might have put it out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, DeMarco Murray is still knocking that. You know, he got his own woman, but now he got dipping and dabbing in mine. Because I saw it in the phone where I'm thinking she's going to get a spray tan, and that's really DeMarco Murray. You didn't hear about this, Greg?
No. Yeah. So this woman is much younger than him then, right?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I absolutely
know. No,
no. I'm just saying, she is. Me.
Or anybody.
But if he had taken a teammate's girl, I mean, it tells you a lot about.
Is it a teammate's girl, or is it just a current Oklahoma player's girl? That's not a teammate. He wasn't at Oklahoma last year.
I think
it's
a bond or a brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? That you don't do that.
So I can't. So if I can't go hook up with a side piece of the University of Maryland right now, because he goes to the University of Maryland.
What? You didn't do one on the football team.
No. You were on
Derek Fisher.
Derek Fisher. Yeah, that wasn't right.
Like I don't like if you know, knock on wood, something happened. Like say Scott and his wife get a divorce. I don't expect you to start dating Scott's wife.
No, I'd never do that. Scott's my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know that DeMarco Murray knows this guy.
DeMarco Murray, that's true, too,
DeMarco Murray doesn't know this guy.
Well, then
I know Scott. He's my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
He's got a girlfriend at home, DeMarco Murray.
You know, it's interesting. In 1973, two Yankee pitchers swap wives.
Oh, yeah.
It was Mike Kekich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fritz. Yeah, and Fritz Peterson.
Oh, they were. Hold on. These two guys were teammates after going with it. Ex-teammates is Murray sleeping with his wife.
Oh, it's his wife?
And he put this. And puts it on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Brennan Clay, a teammate of Murray's at the University of Oklahoma for one season in 2010, began tweeting that Cowboys running back was having an affair with his wife.
His name's Brendan Clay?
Brennan Clay, B-R-E-N-N-A-N.
Oh, wow. And his wife is Gina D'Agostini, it seems.
Yeah, 50 inappropriate tweets that was found on the phone with the spray tan man. And he put them all out there for people to read.
Oh, boy. Through. So it gets even worse for this poor guy, for Brendan, because I found a picture with his wife, Gina, with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, he's here. He got to do a better job of picking his women.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad for this.
Don't feel bad for him.
No, his text message. Oh, this is.
What does the text message say? Did it got anything that's interesting?
Yeah, actually. He moved. The Chargers called. Oh, for real? That's what's up. Yep. DeMarco Murray talking about the Chargers, signing with the Chargers, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because San Diego. Do they live in San Diego?
I don't know if they live, but I think that maybe you would just give him a little free agent update.
Oh, okay. Wow, they would really. If he was updating her, he liked her.
Oh, yeah. He kissed her two kids at the airport and said goodbye.
Mm.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, boy.
DeMarco Murray, I don't even. Let me not say this.
Travis Henry.
Oh, no, it wasn't even for him exactly. So he says he doesn't have a roommate anymore. He moved the Chargers. Whoever DeMarco Murray was living with. Now plays with the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting. That's pretty interesting stuff. So I'm going to take a break. Dr. Ace coming up on the other side. Yeah, I want to read more of these text messages about DeMarco Murray.
Yeah,
so,
it's cool. Right.
Well, we'll take a break. Breakfast continues after this. I just want to clarify before we get to Dr. A. I do want to clarify here. I got the text messages wrong. This woman's husband had a tryout with the Chargers, and she invited DeMarco Murray to come sleep in her bed and do other adult relations with her in the bed. So, there you go.
Right there where they live at.
In the bed. In this man's bed. Kissed his kids goodnight, and then invited DeMarco Murray over.
Can you imagine that?
Mm. No.
That is horrific.
Awful.
It's awful.
And your boy, DeMarco Murray.
Listen, this is the woman engaged him.
In this scenario,
yes. Yeah,
married woman though, you shouldn't do that.
But she shouldn't have did that.
Of course not.
Yeah, come on now.
Of course not. Let's welcome in from Inside Injuries, Dr. A. Good morning, Dr. A.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? I didn't know if I dialed into E News or.
So actually, I just found out about this. This is evidently 2 years old, and I didn't know about it, Dr. A. So I'm trying to get up to date now.
All right.
All right. We're also trying to stay up to date with the latest injury news here. And, you know, some of these injuries are pretty bad. Some of them really affecting here our playoff pushes. And that starts with Jordan Reed, who I believe had a grade 3 either dislocation or separation of that shoulder. He is a legit question mark for this Sunday. What are you hearing and seeing on Jordan Reed?
So if you guys remember the video of that landing, he landed directly on his shoulder. And with that type of impact, it's unquestionably, some sort of blunt force trauma that would cause that dislocation. Now, the problem is that he went back into the game and had it was pretty good, but it probably exacerbated and worsened the injury by doing that. Because a simple grade 3 separated shoulder, it takes about 3 weeks for optimal recovery time if there's no, you know, side effect or negative factor like another like a fracture associated with it or labral tear or something like that. So it's going to be interesting to see if what his practice statuses look like. But, you know, this guy has been banged up quite a bit over the years. And right now he is a do not start. You know, his 36% injury risk is, you know, just think about that. Like, he's likely to get injured. He has a 36% chance of getting injured right now in the game. So he's currently a do not start. Depending upon how he practices, et cetera, those numbers may change. But currently right now is a do not start.
Terrell Williams has a labrum issue. They don't – published reports indicate they don't know whether it's torn or not. And, you know, what's happening with the San Diego wide receiver here, too? And by the same token, Travis Benjamin, we did see him come back from the PCL last week, but he was to caught only one pass for 8 yards. It was a decoy on that Dontrell Inman touchdown. Basically stood in the corner and absolutely did nothing. How serious is this for Terrell Williams? And should we be expecting Travis Benjamin to step up if it is?
Yeah, so first, you know, Tyrell Williams, you know, with the shoulder injury is grade one. The problem is that he had a labral injury in 2014 on the exact same shoulder. And so, you know, even though he's saying Monday, he said Monday that he's good, you know, currently that pushes him into a risky start for us. His health performance factor is below average currently, and his injury risk is elevated. And so if this was his first potential labral injury, you know, the algorithm wouldn't be so harsh on it. But this is the second time, same shoulder, that he has the same potential labral injury. And for a wide receiver to have a labral injury, you know, he's got to lift his arms above his head. And if he experiences any pain or anything with that, you know, it's going to limit him significantly. So currently, you know, he's below average right now, and he's a risky start. Now, Travis Benjamin, you know, as we talked about last week and the week before, you know, this PCL, you know, he was elevated injury risk and above average. He was a cautious start in our book. A lot of times when we say cautious start, that's where the sort of the decoy role goes into play a lot. A lot of times, once a player falls into the low injury risk or anything above average for his health performance factor, that's when likelihood of him being a decoy is a lot less. So he was still elevated injury risk, and you know it is not surprising that they would take him slowly, from a snap count and you know how he's in the field. And so I think this week, barring any setbacks, and if he's practicing well, he should slip back into the low injury risk field.
And Dr. Ray, I got to ask about Carr as a quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. Last week, he had multiple fractures to the pinky finger. He did not take a snap under center. Do you believe that he'll be able to take a snap under center, or they'll go shotgun the entire game?
So, you know, I believe he had a dislocated pinky. I did not have any information on, and you guys can check this with me if it's recently, that he actually had fractures in that pinky. What I'm hearing is that he dislocated that fifth digit. It was relocated and reset, and he came back into the game. And so typically those types of injuries heal pretty well. He should be able, with the right protection and the right stabilization, he should be able to take snaps under center. One thing you guys should know is that the fifth digit is the least important digit of our hand for anything, you know, even eating a sandwich. And so, you know, if we're a quarterback and throwing a football, yeah, I mean, it's good to have that fifth digit fully functional, but it shouldn't be a significant, impact. Right now he's an elevated injury risk because that finger can get injured again, but he's still above average on his health performance factor. Currently, he's a cautious start. I suspect that as the week goes on, he's going to move into a definite start in our books.
Even if he starts, though, what are the limitations? We talked about it earlier, him having trouble taking the ball under center, being able to get the ball to the running back, maybe even throwing the deep ball with the accuracy that we've seen from Derek Carr. How is this going to affect him? Even if he plays, which we assume he's going to, and we know your algorithm says he's going to, how is this going to affect him?
Well, you know, you are right that, you know, there's probably a little bit of an impact on the deep ball. They may do a more out of the shotgun and probably maybe a percentage of running plays a little bit higher. However, what I'm saying is that, the fifth digit will not be that much of an impact on his ability to throw the football, especially after a week of having it, just reset and heal. If there's a fracture, though, it's a different story. Right now, I'm not hearing anything about a fracture, just that he dislocated his fifth digit. And so, to answer your question, I don't think it will impact, and the algorithm does not think it will impact his ability significantly enough from a fantasy standpoint, and I think he will be eventually a definite start in our books.
Doc, T.Y. Hilton this week. Got a situation, he plays on Monday Night Football. Big week. Hilton's definitely a guy that fantasy owners depend on. He's been banged up throughout the course of the season. But now we have to make a decision on what we're going to do if we think we can trust him in our lineups on Monday night, last game of the week. So how's it looking for T.Y. Hilton on us?
Yeah, our algorithms have been very hard on T.Y. Hilton this whole season and last season. And, you know, he's just a guy that has sustained so many different injuries. And, you know, the more injuries, especially wide receiver gets with their frame, now he has a grade 2 back injury. It's not a grade 1. A grade 1 is like, okay, I strained my back muscle and that sort of thing. A grade 2 is what we're suspecting on a grade 2 is that he could have actually a disc issue. And if that's the case, then he is likely a guy that will always be in a below average performance factor for us and an elevated or a high injury risk. And we're already saying that he's a do not start, and it's likely that his numbers will not significantly improve throughout the week. And so, you know, he's a guy that's going to be staying in elevated injury risk and poor performance on the field potentially. So he's a do not start. And I think I know what you're asking. There's a good chance that he probably won't be the guy that people are thinking that he needs to be for the rest of the year.
Yeah, especially with playoffs on the line here on Monday night. Dr. A, before we let you out of here, I need to just ask you about one basketball player, because I read that Mike Conley suffered a transverse process fracture in his vertebrae. What in the hell does that mean?
It's the Tony Romo injury.
So the transverse fracture, of the spine is a... the good news is that it's the least important bone. It just sticks out of the spine. Nothing's really connected to it except for a couple of attachments on the paraspinal muscles. There's no intrinsic spinal abnormality. And so the good news is that it's really just it needs to heal and sort of fuse together over time. And so it will not significantly impact him once the healing process has finished, meaning a break in the bone, new bone forms, it bridges it, it fixes itself. Once that's done, it should not affect his ability after that. The issue is that they have to give him enough time to heal, and that's about 6 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks is about the healing time for that.
All right, there
and
you
so
go.
He'll be back in a month and a half.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Ray. Inside Injuries. Follow him for your football and basketball news. We talk to him every Wednesday. He'll be on the Old School Fantasy Hour on Friday afternoon. When we come back, the Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on for another hour right after this. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.